we're back. And this segment of the show is brought to you by SureCruise.com, your online cruise superstore, and in part by USA 3000 Airlines, offering low-cost fares from St. Petersburg, Fort Lauderdale, Fort Myers, and Orlando. And we have Mr. Evan Eggers, president of SureCruise.com, on the line. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning, Roy.
We haven't had a chance to talk for a week or so, so there are lots of things to do some catching up on. But I thought before we'd get into the news, why don't we chat a bit about the about what's happening with the Sure Cruise, the name change, and some of the new things that you've got going there, the search capabilities, for example.
Yeah, absolutely, Roy. Well, thanks. As you mentioned, we changed our name to SureCruise.com from our old name of O2Cruise.com, which wasn't that memorable. And we're doing a bunch of things that all relate to Sure Cruise, which is namely we want people to be able to be confident they're choosing the right cruise line for them, because as you know, cruise lines all have very different personalities. We want to be sure that once they pick a cruise line that fits their personality, that they're getting a great deal and the right itinerary, and that's where the cruise search comes in. And then, of course, they need to have, you know, fantastic service on an ongoing basis, especially when problems crop up, which they don't often do, but when they do, you want somebody in your corner to be your zealous advocate, as we like to say. And that's what we mean by being by Sure Cruise. You want to be sure that all these things are going to go smoothly. Now, on the search aspect of things, you know, we really worked hard. Our kind of our secret sauce. Everybody who's selling cruises has a different secret sauce. Some people specialize in, well, I mean, they're all different specialties. But our specialty is we have some technological capabilities that we can bring to the internet that other people don't have. And the way that delivers value to people who are searching is that we have a very powerful cruise search. For example, I've never seen a feature like this anywhere else where let's say that you want to celebrate a special event with a spouse or a loved one on a certain night. Say it's, you know, June 14th. You want to be out on a cruise on June 14th. You don't really care whether it's a four-night cruise, an eight-night cruise, a 10-night cruise. You just want to see what's available. Well, you can come to Sure Cruise and say that I just want to be on a cruise on the night of June 14th. And it'll show you all the cruises that sail over that night regardless of the length. You know you'll be on the ship on that night.
That's terrific.
And, of course, you can narrow it down by where you're sailing and how long the sailing is and all that good stuff. But it's also nice for finding holiday cruises, too, because you can say, well, I want to do a Christmas cruise. So go put in December 25th. It'll show you all the cruises that sail over that night, regardless of when they start and end or how long they are. It's kind of cool.
It sure saves surfing all around the you know, the web to try and find that information.
Yeah, that's exactly the idea. You know, and some people, if something else that's hard to do that we've made easy to do, that has been hard to do that's now easy is, let's say that, you know, you found out that Dominica has, one of the few tropical rainforest climates in the Caribbean. You want to go visit Dominica. Well, you can come over to our search and say, show me all the cruises that call at the port of Dominica, regardless of where they're from or to and everything else.
Most people have never even heard of Dominica, but it's a beautiful spot. I know. I used to dive off there. I found a lot of cannonballs and things there. It's a wonderful spot.
It is a wonderful spot, you know, because so much of the Caribbean is kind of arid, and Dominica, it's like being on Kauai almost. It's so...
I know.
Lush and beautiful. So that's one of my favorites, too. That's why I picked it as an example.
And there's so many surrounding islands in the British West Indies. It's just absolutely beautiful. Lots of treasures have been found there. There's some great stories, great folklore.
There's a whole segment for you right there.
Exactly. Well, that's great. So you're making it easier. And for those listening, when you're ready, have a look at surecruise.com. And you can get all the information you need. And he's making it easier every time we chat with him. Let's just go to some of the things that are happening out there. I see that QM2 is officially moved into this $56 million Brooklyn Cruise Terminal as of what I think the 15th of April.
The 15th of April, that's exactly right. Yep, in the very early morning, 3-4 in the morning, Queen Mary eased into Brooklyn to inaugurate the grand opening of the new Brooklyn Cruise Terminal in Red Hook, New York, which is has been contracted for by Carnival Corp, which, of course, includes Cunard and Norwegian Cruise Line.
Right.
They're the ones who are contracted for it. And, this is very exciting, obviously. This is the last stop for the Queen Mary on a 38-day cruise that started in March in Los Angeles. So those people have been on that ship quite a while.
Now, are they're just going to do their international cruises from there? The transatlantic stuff?
Well, I mean, all Queen Mary's transatlantic will be done from there. In terms of what other Carnival Corp ships will call there, I think quite a few of them, but I don't have that information right in front of me.
Right. So primarily, though, the Queen Mary, too, will be doing their transatlantic sailings as they had done for years.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Even before the Queen Mary, before her, a long line of ships in the Cunard family have done transatlantic. That's really Cunard's, what they may be best known for is those transatlantic trips all summer.
Well, exactly. Now,
CLIA has indoctrinated some new people into their Hall of Fame.
Well, they have, and it's kind of funny. The most entertaining of the CLIA's Hall of Fame awards was given, I thought, to the Love Boat itself. For everybody who remembers the TV show The Love Boat, which was Princess Cruz's Pacific Princess, there were kind of two big things that made cruising go mainstream. One was the TV show The Love Boat, and the second, of course, was those ridiculous carnival ads with Kathy Lee Gifford in them.
Right, the fun ship. Right.
That's right, the fun ship. So The Love Boat was... Now, CLIA, of course, is the Cruise Lines International Association. It's the cruise industry's big trade association here in the U.S. And they had an awards banquet a week ago, and The Love Boat herself was brought into their Hall of Fame. And the award was accepted on behalf of the ship. The ship couldn't attend. By Gavin McLeod, better known as Doc on board the Love Boat.
Exactly.
And of course, it's funny, for those of us who go to industry events with some frequency, Princess and Gavin McLeod still have a great relationship on when new Princess ships are rolled out, you know. Yeah, seven times out of ten, there's Gavin McLeod there.
I hope they gave him an annual free pass to cruise anytime he wants.
I bet they did. Yeah. If I see him again, when the Crown Princess comes out in a month or two, I'll see whether he's on board and ask him that question. Yeah,
that would be an interesting question. Now, I see that also Bob Dickinson was also installed. And Fred Kasner, an old friend of mine who was the founder of GoGo, was also part of that.
Yeah, and these gentlemen have done a lot for cruising, absolutely, the both of them, no doubt.
Yeah, unfortunately, after Fred had passed away, they had a ship up here called the Regal Empress, and somehow or other it got into some financial difficulty. And I'm not really sure how that all came down, but it was wonderful because it sailed from the port of Manatee, and it was really popular. It was a smaller 800, 900-passenger ship, but the food was great and the service was great, and we've all been on it, and we were sorry to lose it. It's now down in Fort Lauderdale doing, cruise to Grand Bahama Island.
Bahamas Run, sure.
So... But I was glad to see Fred's on there, and of course it was also good to see Bob Dickinson. He's been at it a long time.
Oh, they both deserve the award for certain.
Now let's see what else. There's still no definite cause for the Star Princess fire, but it looks like they're doing some things. There's some new procedures being put into place.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So what has been there's a lot of speculation that may turn out to be accurate or not, but the speculation was that the fire had started on a balcony. The speculation was that it started from a discarded cigarette. And we now know that it did, for a fact, start on the balcony, but we still don't know for sure whether it was a cigarette that started it. That's been the scuttlebutt. But Princess, in the meantime, has announced that they have... put some new policies into place on board their ships, such as a 24-hour fire watch of balconies, new crew training, new fire response procedures specific to balcony fires, a whole list of things just to minimize the impact of any such event in the future. And it totally makes sense. You know, you think about it, and if you're a cruise ship designer or a cruise line, I can easily see how it would be somewhat unforeseen that a fire would start outside the ship.
Absolutely.
And burn very robustly there.
Yeah, that would have been
it's certainly thing. Not unforeseen anymore.
Well, and it's going to be interesting, as you say. They're going to put a 24-hour fire watch, that's interesting in itself. And of course, they're going to put some enhanced communication to passengers regarding fire safety, and they're going to change certain crew housekeeping procedures on balconies. So I guess they're going to pay a little more attention to things that are out there that maybe shouldn't be.
Yeah, and of course, maybe I'm a curmudgeon and I'm a non-smoker, so being a curmudgeonly non-smoker, I would have said, no smoking on balconies.
Yeah. But of course, that's the whole reason, not the whole reason, but that's why many of the people do take balconies.
That's exactly right.
So I guess
it's a good thing I'm not running Princess then for the smokers out there.
Now, let's talk transatlantic. You're going to be sailing on one of the Cunard ships next week, in fact.
Yeah, that's right. Next week on the Queen Mary. They're having one of the nice things about business meetings in the cruise industry is they more often than not happen on cruise ships, so there's nothing wrong with that. Better than other industries I've been in. But at any rate, Cunard is having a meeting for some of their top accounts on board the Queen Mary next week, sailing from London, from the London's port of Southampton, England, of course, over to New York for a six-night transatlantic crossing. I've never done it. I'm looking forward to it.
So that would be quite exciting. I've never done it either.
Yeah, I mean, it's been one of those things on my list of things I definitely wanted to try at some point, and certainly Cunard giving me the excuse, I'm more than happy to have it.
The last time I did, I was on an aircraft carrier, and I wouldn't exactly call it a cruise ship. But
I hope my experience has some differences from that one.
Yeah, the late night of plane launches would keep you awake.
Yeah, something else that's fun is that something that Cunard has done for quite some time on these transatlantics, of course. And then the Queen Mary was designed specifically for transatlantic cruising. It's an ocean liner more so than a cruise ship. And what that means is, first of all, well, structurally it's a lot different. It's able to handle a lot heavier seas, although they try to avoid those. But then in terms of the onboard amenities, they know that people have to be entertained on board the ship without going to a port of call for 6 days. And one of the things that Cunard has done is have these enrichment programs on board, which they just announced their fall programs. And it's cool stuff. So in addition to having professors from Oxford University who are lecturing on various subjects during these crossings, they have things like a Condé Nast Traveler and the New Yorker offering a literary retreat on the high seas on one sailing. They have the world-renowned Martha Graham Modern Dance Company. Their chief choreographer is on board on another sailing. Gourmet Magazine and Architectural Digest and a Food Network chef, Dave Lieberman, will be on board for a fine living on the high seas cruise. So it's neat stuff, and I'm looking forward to experiencing it myself.
Yeah, and it seems that a lot of even the tour companies are leaning more towards these educational tours. In fact, later on in the show, we have a gentleman from Ubiquity Travel, and that's what they do. They do these educational escorted tours, and they're escorted by PhDs and people who have a lot of knowledge in the particular area or the subject that they're going to deal with. And I think that's pretty terrific.
Yeah, I agree. And you're right. There is more of this going on where people are not just going and taking a sit and relax vacation, but sit and relax and perhaps broaden their horizons a little bit at the same time, which I think is a wonderful thing to do.
Now, just one last thing before we run, and it's kind of interesting, a note that you had passed along to me, that that the CLIA market profile shows that cruisers are younger and wealthier than before. That's sort of interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, too. Every 2 years, CLIA does a survey of the cruise market with a big professional market research company. And they discovered that the average income for cruisers exceeded $100,000 for the first time, to $104,000 average income for people who cruise. And the average age of all cruise vacationers fell to 49, which is the lowest figure they've seen since they started tracking this in 2002, I think it was.
Well, it's interesting for a couple of reasons, because people are always saying that cruises are for the old folks, and that's not the case.
Oh, yeah, that's absolutely right. And, people, you can go on some cruises, a good cruise specialist, you will know that there'll be older people on it, or the cruises will have younger people, but meantime, the average age is coming down.
That's terrific. Well, we're going to miss you next week, and but we'll try to do our best to hold up our end.
And I'm sure you'll do a fine job.
Have a wonderful cruise, and we'll talk to you when you get back.
All right, thanks
Evan Eggers of SureCruise.com. Bye for now.